morning. I'm blessed to be here. Blessed to hear the testimonies of you that desire to be baptized. And I think it's one of the first steps in following Jesus is to make that proclamation through baptism. And I know it's the will of God, so I bless you for that. And I thank God for calling you and speaking to you. And is this on? Okay, you understand me. So I think this morning, I would just like if we would stand and sing a song this morning. It's a song that we all know, but we're going to sing it for those that have been converted and they want to follow Jesus. It's a song, a very simple song, I've decided to follow Jesus. So can we all stand and we'll sing that song. That you've called us. You've called us, Father. You've called these dear young souls to follow you. Yes, and they've decided that's what they want to do. Lord, and we know that they need your enabling grace. And we know, I think of that scripture says, He's able to do both, to will and to do His good pleasure. Yes, Father. You will give them this enabling grace as they continually keep their eyes upon you. I pray that you will just bless the word this morning. Bless the service, the baptism, Father, today. For your glory and for your praise, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. You know, as I thought about the words in that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. It says, the cross before me. The cross before me. You can go today and be baptized, and nobody's threatened your life. But you know, in some places around the world today, they want to be baptized, they have to do it in secret. Because that's the cross of following Jesus that they have to bear. For you, that may not be your cross being baptized. You can do that publicly. Some places in the world, they can't do that publicly. But yet Jesus says in Luke, I think chapter 8, He says, you know, if any man will come after me, I'll just read that. And this message this morning, I have you in mind this morning. Janelle, Nathaniel, Twyla, Christina, Caitlin, and Lauren. You know, so I appreciate your attention this morning. This service is, yes, it's largely about you today. So let's just see what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, He says in verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, then if you go on to the latter part of the chapter in verse 57 through 62, there, you know, there were some that says here, and it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, that sounds good. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know, it seems like they wanted to first put conditions on following Jesus. Following Jesus my way. But Jesus says, no. You know, it's his way. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell that are at my house. Being distracted from following him. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, you know, to follow Jesus is taking up your cross. And that's where so many seem to turn back when they want to follow. They say they want to follow Jesus. I see it much because I go into the jail ministry. And in there, you know, you hear this, I'll never come into this place again. But you know, we were talking this morning about deception and what Satan's objective is, I believe, as we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson, is for you to get your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. We get him out there and we're distracted by the many other things that Satan puts before you. Or maybe the cost is too great. You know, there's a cost to following Christ. And, you know, when Jesus says, follow me, you know, you want to do like the disciples did. Jesus told them, he says, follow me. It says they left it all and followed him. You know, the disciples, I had to think of them. Peter and Andrew, James and John. By the lakeside of Galilee, mending their nets or fishing. And here they see this man, Jesus, coming walking alongside the lake. And they probably heard who he was. They probably knew who he was. And they didn't say, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Let's follow him. Hey, let's go and follow him. Or Levi sitting in his office as a tax collector and seeing Jesus walk by. He says, I'm going to follow him. No, that's not the way it says, is it? But it says this way, these accounts in Luke 5:27 and 28. After these things, he went forth and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. That means in his tax office. And he said unto him, follow me. It says, and he left all, rose up, and he followed him. See, what we see here is first Jesus called them. Then they left and they followed him. The same way in Matthew 4, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers, and he said unto them, notice, he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And we sang that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. But I'm just saying, bringing this in. First, God called you. Do you believe that? Just like he said here to the disciples and Levi, he says, he called them and their response was, and they left and they followed him. It says, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship, their father, and followed him. See, they responded in obedience when Jesus called them. Yes, and then they decided to obey and to follow him. Remember, because Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father first draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. You know, draw means that he will call. No man can come to the Father unless he's called. You know, it's kind of like this. Do you think you could go visit the president in the White House without being called, without an invitation? No. But what an honor that would be if you'd get a call. Most people would think that. I know the president would call and say, hey, you want to come to the White House? Then you could come. That's how it is with God calling you. And do you look at it as such an honor? Then God has called you, the creator of the whole universe. Maybe you thought you were so insignificant he couldn't even notice you. But he has called you. Isn't it amazing? Do you look at us in a privilege that he took recognition of me, and he called you? Yes. Then it should be with joy in your heart. I've decided to go. Like the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. He heard the call, and he decided he will go. Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I believe Jesus was speaking there of the cross. When he's going to be lifted up, he says, then I will draw all men unto me. And we believe that's what the Spirit of God is to do, doing today. He's calling people to repentance and a saving faith in him, in Christ. So God has called you. You know, it says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness. You know, that's why God has called you. It's because he loves you. That's why. Peter says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and a faith in him. So, you know, look at your Christian life and your calling as one of a privilege. It says in John, the Gospel of John, that those which were born of God, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So he came to his own people. They rejected him. But then he says, but as to as many as receive him, that includes you this morning, to them gave he power. Meaning, to them he gives them the authority, the okay to become his children. You know, an orphan can't just be adopted into, you know, just walking into somebody's home or family and say, hey, I want to be your child. Could I live here? No, he needs the authority of that home to okay that. That you can be his child. That's the same way that is what that verse is talking about. To them, he gave them the authority to become his child. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. What manner of love that he would open up his heart, up his home for us, for you and me. God says to Jeremiah the prophet, you know, and as children, I was going to say, now he is your father. God is your father. He's not just some far distant God that doesn't really care that much about you. No, he's your daddy. Paul says in Romans, the 8th chapter, now you can call him like Abba Father. You have a right to him. Hebrews says that we should now draw near to him in full confidence and assurance of faith with boldness. Let us draw near to him. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says an expected end, which means a hope and a future. You know, without God, you don't have that. You don't have a hope and you don't have a future. There's people think they have a hope. Proverbs would say that the wicked man has a hope, but it perishes. You know, while he lives, he thinks everything's going to be all right. I'll cross that bridge when I get there, meaning death, and, you know, about him and God. He thinks everything will pan out all right. But not so. You know, when he stands before God, without Jesus, there is no hope. But this is what God says for you. He says, I've come. I'm going to give you a hope and a future. You know, a future that is eternal. Not one that is just a couple years. Do you want to live for eternity? Peter said, when everybody kind of left, you know, Jesus said a couple hard things. Then the people, the crowd left him and they went home, you know. But, you know, we can't follow this man. But Peter stayed with Jesus. He lingered with Jesus. And Jesus told him, he says, you want to leave also? Peter says, no, I don't want to leave you. Because you have the words of eternal life. That's the type of future you want, right? Think about it. 100 years from now, where will you be? I don't think anybody in here will be around here 100 years from now, not unless some of the small babies might, God give some good health and long life. But most of us will be gone. A future. Think about it. Jesus came to provide that for you. He says, a hope and a future. He says, then he shall call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. Isn't that interesting that now as God's child, you can call upon him, and he's going to listen to you. Oh, that's Michelle calling. Or that's Lauren. Christine, he's going to hear you. He says, I will hearken unto you. He shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. You know, and this is something you need not just one time when you were born again, when you received Christ, but this is something you need continually in your daily life. You know, seeking the Lord, He shall seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. You know, God called Samuel in his youth, in the night. I don't know how old Samuel was. Maybe he was, I don't know. It doesn't say. But he was a youth in the night. And at first he wasn't sure what it was. Then Eli the priest said, "Well, I think it's the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" You know, that's the response you want to have in following Jesus. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He hears you, and you hear him. Okay? And how does God speak to you? God speaks to you through His Word, the Bible. God speaks to you through your parents. You believe that? Yes, He speaks to you through your parents. So you want to give ear to them? They can give you good counsel, give direction in your life. They speak to you maybe through a friend in the church that loves you, cares for you. They speak to you through the teachers, preachers. Those are some ways that God speaks. So Samuel heard God's call in his youth, and another one was Timothy. 2 Timothy, Paul says of Timothy, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus." You know, Timothy was familiar with the Bible, with the scriptures. And I believe in his youth, in his very young age, he responded to the call of Christ in his life. Did you know that the larger percentage of Christians come to a saving faith in Christ in their youth? That is why it's so important to give response to God when He calls you. When you sense that conviction in your heart of sin and know you're not ready to meet Him. You know, that's the call of God. Dear young souls, you know, it's like some of these were maybe at night. God called Samuel in the night. Maybe He called you in the night. And, you know, you weren't sure what it was, but you just weren't at ease. There was something wrong. You felt a conviction of sin. And you thought, if Jesus would come tonight, I wouldn't be ready to go with Him. That is the drawing and calling of God in your life. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says, "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Here he tells us, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. You know, he says, before the evil days, while the evil days come not. You know, because as people get older, they get kind of, they're seeking after pleasure. Then they're seeking after trying to make money. And they get so set in their ways and in their unbelief. It says, then they go through life without ever turning their heart and obeying that call. But probably they could remember back in their young years. Maybe it was some time they were sitting in a church service and God called them. They remember that time of conviction. But today they don't have it anymore. Their heart is cold as stone. And death is now looming in front of them. And they're not sure what to do about it. But it seems there's nothing in them that moves them to repentance. It says, you should do this in your youth before those evil days come. Is the time to heed that gospel call, just like you did. That is good. But remember this, that's not the only time that God will call you. He does continually. And He wants you to respond to Him like Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. That's with a yielded heart. It says, in the days of thy youth, here in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Why when you're young? Why not, first sow some wild oats and live as you please, party and have some fun, do whatever you please. You know, the larger majority of youth do just that. They do. And I did that to a certain extent till I was 21 years old. But when I came to the place when I found Christ as my Savior, I thought, well, I didn't know this. This is really what I've been looking for all this time. In my youth, but I was looking for it in pleasurable things that the world can give to me. But when I found Christ, I found joy, I found peace, and I found love. A joy and a peace that abides and stayed in my heart. And that's what I was looking for in these other things. And these other pleasurable things just vanished away so quickly. And the Bible speaks about Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Just remember that. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. You can enjoy them. People do that. But remember, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. You don't. If we would just turn to the previous chapter in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, just the previous one, that just a couple verses before that, he says there, rejoice, O young man or young lady, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. That's what many of them want to do. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. In other words, just do whatever pleases you and in the sight of your eyes, whatever you want to do. But know thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's one thing you never want to forget. People can do that. Whatever they want to, but just know this, God has called you. But if you resist and reject the call of God in your life, just know this, that God will bring thee into judgment. Not only you, but all the world. It says in Acts chapter 17, Paul says, for God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. That day is coming. So, that's the option you have. And I don't think I want that one. And I don't think you want it either. Okay? You're not promised a tomorrow. You're not promised a long life. When I was young, I remember so well a young lady about a year older than I was. I think I was about 17. She was 18. She was my wife's cousin, first cousin. She was 18. She died one evening going home from a party. In a car wreck. She was in the back seat, and her brother and another vehicle, they were going home from a party. And they started drag racing down the two-lane highway. And he lost it. And of course, she flew out and was instantly killed. You know, even though I was 17 years old, I knew that she went to meet God. It really spoke to me. That time, God spoke to me. He called me and drew me, but I still resisted His voice. You know, I did not turn my heart to Him. I just rather hardened my heart. But you know, you're not promised tomorrow. We hear about these all deaths all the time. Young people, just the last, what was it, about 2 weeks ago, 3 young people died over here in Valley Road. And they didn't go to no other place either but to meet their Maker. I don't know where they were with God. I leave that with God. But they were just young. So don't think that, you know, hey, as it says, rejoice in your youth and let your heart cheer thee. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. And it will come out all right. Because it won't come out all right. Okay? You're not promised tomorrow. It says here, but rather he says, remember now your Creator. And who is your Creator? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus Christ is your Creator. John 1, verse 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Go to the book of Genesis. And there you have it. God says, and let us make. And let us. There you see the Trinity right in the first chapter of the Bible. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. By Him all things are held together. Okay, let's just think about Him as the Creator. Think about His creation. His awesome power to create the world, hang it in space, and spinning on its axis at the speed of 1,000 miles per hour at the equator. Okay? And you don't fly off. Gravity holds us to the earth. You know, in 24 hours it makes one complete circle. The earth does. That's what gives us day and night. Just think of what He did. The earth, 93 million miles from the sun, flying through space at 66,600 miles per hour, and in 365 and a quarter days for one trip around the sun. A distance of 59 million miles. Then that's what gives you, us, those that live on this planet, it gives us the seasons. We have spring, summer, fall, and winter. It's amazing. And it's a very pleasant environment to live in. He created it all. Then you can think of all the stars, the galaxies out there that He created. It says here, He created them all. They were made by Him and function in order by His great awesome power. You know, when we think about it, it reminds us how small we really are. I think that's why the psalmist says in Psalms 8, 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. You know, who are we anyhow? That God should be mindful of you. Well, you're his creation. That's why he's mindful of you. You're his creation. And he loves you. That's why he's mindful of you. There in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, you're to remember your creator. Now here he says, he remembers you. He remembers you. He doesn't forget. You're his creation also. In Isaiah 64:8, it says, but now, O Lord, thou our Father, we are the clay, thou art the potter. We're the work of thy hands. You're the work of his hands. Jeremiah 18:1-4 says, the words which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And when I went down to the potter's house, behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And listen to this, what he saw. He wrought a work on the wheel. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. You know, it says it was marred in the first creation of this clay vessel. You know, and that's the way your life was and my life was. God made a beautiful vessel, Adam and Eve, but it was marred. Read of the account. Sin marred it. You know, they were in the garden and they worshiped the Lord. He was their God and he was their Father. When sin came in, it marred that relationship. And they were driven out of the garden. And as here it says, in the hand of the potter, and he made it again another vessel, and it seemeth good to the potter to make it. You know, and God provided a means where that, where you can be changed. That mar can be taken away. That sin stain in your life can be removed. Are you listening to me? Do you know that sin stain in your life mars every creature, every human being that is born? It mars them. They can't really worship God now anymore. But you know, once you're born again, he remakes you. He transforms you. Remakes you. Now you can worship God again. Like they did in the beginning. Like Adam and Eve did. Marred means ruined because of sin. Because of our sin. Our disobedience. Sin has ruined, marred the creation that was made in the likeness of himself. But Jesus came to change that. And then that's why Jesus came into the world. Read Isaiah 53. I don't have time, so I won't read the whole thing. But I would just like to read a couple of verses here for you. It says that he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And why did he do it for you? He did it. Verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God made Jesus an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, his righteous servant who was Jesus, he says he shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Do you know what justified means? It means he shall declare them righteous. That means remove that mar from them. Remove that sin stain. Because, you know, you can keep the Ten Commandments, you can keep them all. If you possibly could keep them all except one, everybody would look at you as a holy and a righteous person. Do you know that? You keep them all except one. But James says, though we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty. That's just where it stands. You're guilty before God. And that justify means, and because, says, he shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Justify means be declared righteous. Isn't that amazing? That you can stand before God justified, declared righteous. That's very humbling when you think about it. But that's what Jesus came to do. Now you can stand before God and you can worship Him because of what He came to do. Because He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong because He has poured out His soul into death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, this is God's love toward the whole world. Let your mind drink in the thought of God's love, pure and true, of how He loves you, just as though there's none to love but you. When you're in Christ, you're as dear to God as His own dear Son, as His own Son. You know, you read that in John 17, I think about the last verse. So think how much your Father cares, far more than anyone. And you can rest in Him because no truer words are spoken. For when God promises His love, His word cannot be broken. So let your heart drink in His love, His peace and comfort too. And you can share with other souls the love that God gives to you. You know, because He did that, you want to follow Him? Jesus told the disciples, this all happened to Him after He was died and He rose again. Then He told His disciples, now go therefore and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And we see that's exactly then what the disciples did. When Peter preached in the day of Pentecost, the people were convicted of their sin. They said, what shall we do? What did Peter say? He said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it says the promise is to you, remember here, and to your children. Thank God. You know, when your children come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, now I'm just going to read one more verse here in Colossians. Then we'll close. Colossians 1, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. This is Jesus. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. See the mar on God's creation there. It says, you that were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He changed that because of Jesus. It says, in the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Isn't that amazing? You think about God, He is holy. Now you can stand before Him. He says to present you, because someday you will stand before God, unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Isn't that amazing? I think I should hear every amen in this room on that one. Unreprovable in His sight. Then He says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away, because remember, there's someone that wants to move you away. This is just the beginning of your Christian life. He says, and don't be moved away of the gospel, from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And I, Paul, am made a minister. There we see, you know, what Jesus has done and provided for you. So, that is my prayer and heart for you, that even it says in Hebrews, I think, looking unto Jesus, the author, that means the beginning and finisher of your faith, as you look to Him. You know, I just feel led this way today. I would like if the youth, those that want to be baptized, if they would come up yet. And those of you that are here today, I'm not going to call out names, but if you would want to come up and pray for them, I would like if we could just spend a few moments and pray for them. Okay? Because we do not know what the days may hold, but we know that whom they have trusted and whom they have begun their faith in, that He will keep them. Let's just pray that God will fill them with their love, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and just pray a blessing upon them, okay? I just feel led to do that. So those of you that require, want to be baptized, if you just come up here and kneel here, and then we'll just, a few of us will gather around and we'll pray for you yet. Just kneel here. As we stand here before prayer, let's sing that verse in Revelations 4, verse 11. Or is it